Welcome to the Arena Church podcast. We hope you enjoy the message.
Thank you, everybody, and happy Mother's Day to all you ladies. I hope you've been treated nicely this morning. I woke up to someone having an accident in their pants. You'll be glad to know it wasn't Josh. It was one of our children. But that wasn't very nice. But I did get a lovely bunch of flowers, which was really nice. So we are on our series, as Josh said, of Suit Up, Stand Firm. And this is all about the armour of God. And for me, leading kids' church for many years, I've preached on this to the children a lot of times, on the armour of God. And I love this subject because it's just so practical on how we can live a good Christian life. It's so helpful. And that's what I love about this subject. And I just want to start by telling you a story from when I was 21. It was a long time ago now, although I still like to think of myself as that age. So it was coming up to my 21st birthday, and my dad decided to throw me this big party for my 21st. I'd lost my mum the month before, and I think he just wanted to make a big thing of my birthday. So he threw me this big party. We'd hired the church over at Ilkeston. We'd got a band playing. We'd got a bouncy castle. We'd got one of those bucking broncos that you have to sit on and try and stay on for the longest. It was a great party. And some of my friends decided to tell one of our friends that the party was fancy dress. It wasn't fancy dress, okay? So they told him it was fancy dress and they thought it was hilarious until he went out and spent £50 on a fancy dress costume. And they kind of realised it's probably gone a bit too far now, but they've done it now, they've committed to it. Thankfully, a couple of days before, someone did have the heart and went and told him, it's not a fancy dress party. You're going to be the only one in fancy dress. And I'm glad they did because, you know, if he'd have turned up to that party in fancy dress and everybody else was in their party clothes, he would feel really inappropriately dressed. He wouldn't be dressed for the occasion. He'd feel embarrassed because he was the only one wearing that. I think it was like a soldier outfit or something like that. He would have felt embarrassed being the only one in fancy dress. But it's important that we are dressed appropriately. A soldier going into battle wouldn't be wearing a t-shirt and shorts, would he? Because he would be very inappropriately dressed. I have a photo here of a Roman soldier, and this is what they wear. This is all the armor. I mean, this guy looks like he's been going to the gym. He's dressed with muscles as well as armor. But here's all the parts of the armor. As you will see, the helmet that Josh spoke about last week. He's got the belt, the sword, the shield will be somewhere. But what I want to talk about today is the big part in the middle, which is the breastplate. And I had a look, and it says that the Roman soldier's armor weighed over 70 pounds. Wow, that is really heavy, isn't it? And it says that most of the weight was in the breastplate. Why is that? Because the breastplate covers our heart and most other vital organs. In a sense, the breastplate covers the most vulnerable areas of a warrior. And the enemy in a battle is after the heart because they can get you with their weapons in the arm or the legs and it'll cause damage, but one blow to the heart will be fatal. And in Ephesians, it explains how in life we will face spiritual battles, and so we need to be clothed in the armor of God. Just as a soldier would wear armor to face a battle, so should we. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So how do we guard our hearts? With the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness simply means to live right, to live in alignment with God, to live a holy life. And why is it so important? I read this in a Christian article that explained really well why our heart is so important. It said, we should guard our hearts because it's there that decisions are made. Our lives, as well as others, are directly impacted by our hearts. Guarding your heart is essential in the context of sin because it helps you protect your innermost self from the deceptive allure of sinful temptations. the enemy is after your heart. And if the enemy gets into your heart, it can mess with four things. It can mess with your mind and how you think. It can mess with your emotions, the way you feel about yourself and about others around you. It can mess with your ambitions. What you want to do is out of alignment with the plan that God has for you. We always tell our kids when they start having doubts about what they can achieve, you know, it's too hard, I can't do it, they're better than me, I'm not strong enough. We tell them, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. What are we doing? We're armoring them with the breastplate of righteousness. We're not letting the enemy put those doubts and their ambitions in their hearts. We are armoring them with the breastplate of righteousness. It can mess with your conscience. The things you know aren't right, the enemy convinces you it's okay. Have you ever been in a situation where you know deep down that something isn't right, but also you feel something saying, it's okay, it's not that bad. You're only looking at that other man or woman. You're not doing anything about it. That's okay. You're only hiding a bit of money from the tax man. Nobody will know. That's okay. Or you're only telling a little white lie. It's not a big lie. That is the enemy messing with your conscience. And we need to make sure we have the breastplate of righteousness in place to stop the enemy getting to our hearts. In Hosea in the Bible, it says that God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So it's essential that we learn how to effectively fight against evil. If you are joining the army, you don't decide sign up to join the army and then they put you straight on the front line. That's not how it works. You'll have years and years of training and learning and knowledge. And again, in the spiritual, we need to learn how to fight the enemy through the knowledge in the Bible. We need to equip ourselves with the armor of God. In the natural, if we take a weapon to the heart, whether it's a sword, a knife, or a bullet, it causes real damage. But in the spiritual, there are weapons that will cause damage in our lives if we let them get to our hearts. And I'm just going to talk about a few of those this morning. So the first one is offense and anger. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Have you ever met those people that are just always offended about everything? And you know, you feel like you're walking on eggshells around them because you don't want to say anything that might offend them. That's what happens when offense gets into your heart. And there's opportunity for us to be offended nearly every day. I have been offended about some really stupid stuff. I'll give you a couple of examples. You know, when you ask somebody how old they think you are, and you think, oh, they're going to say at least 5 years younger, maybe 10. And then they go, 37. And you're like, what? And they say, oh, sorry, are you younger? Well, no, but I thought I looked younger than my age. maybe that's just me. Or, you know, when you ask your husband if you've put a bit of weight on and he gives you the honest answer. You know, we can all have examples of silly things that we can get offended about. And the enemy will always offer you offense, but it doesn't mean we have to take it. Let's choose patience over offense and anger. The next weapon is bitterness. Colossians 3, verse 12 to 13 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. When we don't forgive quickly, we let bitterness into our hearts. Our lead pastor Christian, I heard him only say a couple of weeks ago that bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person will die. Bitterness only affects us. It doesn't affect the person that you're mad at. It doesn't affect the person that's hurt you. It only affects you. And the way we guard our hearts from bitterness is to be quick to forgive. Even if that person isn't sorry, even if that person doesn't even know they've done anything wrong, we need to be quick to forgive. and always believe the best in people. How many times is it that we're mad at someone for doing something to us and they don't even have a clue that they've done anything wrong? I've seen that happen so many times. They're completely oblivious to what they've done. Or sometimes it's that, you know, they're just going through a tough time, and as they say, that you take it out on the people closest to you. And they're going through something and then you've just got the rough end of the deal. Let's just believe the best in people and choose forgiveness over bitterness. The next weapon is complaining. Philippians 2, verse 14 says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. I find that the more you moan and complain about someone or something, the more that person or situation annoys you. It gets into your heart. And what complaining does is it distorts our reality. It makes us lose perspective because all we're focusing on is the thing we're complaining about, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and we lose perspective. So that family member that may do things that annoy you, we focus on that and forget how blessed we are to have family around us. Or that thing at work that we don't like doing. Maybe it's cleaning the toilet, or for me, it's the photocopier. In my job description, if the photocopier breaks, for some reason that is my job. I am rubbish at it. I have no idea how to fix it. So I just like press a few buttons and hope for the best. But if we focus on that one area of our job that we don't like, it makes us lose perspective of the whole thing. I mean, firstly, I'm blessed to have a job. And secondly, it's a job I love. And most parts of it I absolutely love. But if we focus on the one thing we don't like and we complain and complain about it, we lose perspective of the whole thing. We need to choose contentment over complaining. Make a conscious decision every day not to complain about the things that annoy us. The next one is jealousy. James 3, verse 16 to 17 says, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. I think this is something that can affect all of us, jealousy. And I think social media is the worst for it because people only put on their good moments on social media, don't they? So the cute little baby picture that you see all nicely dressed and looking lovely, it doesn't show you 5 minutes before when they were sick everywhere and pooed all up the wall. Is that anyone else's child or just mine? Definitely done that a few times. Or the nice picture of a couple all hugging and looking lovingly in each other's eyes doesn't show you the massive argument they had the night before. Or the picture of the new flashy car that someone's just brought, it doesn't show you the debt that they've got into to buy it. People only put their best moments on social media, but it can cause jealousy to come into our hearts. And we need to protect our hearts from that. And sometimes it may mean that we need to delete social media altogether. We may need to delete people's accounts if it's causing us to become jealous. We need to cut off the thing that causes us to be jealous. Choose to not let jealousy into our hearts. The next weapon is pride. James 4, verse 6 says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Pride is thinking of ourselves more highly than we should, or looking down on others, thinking that we are better than them. And the easiest way to guard your heart from pride is by reminding ourselves that everything is from God. Whether it's a job promotion, a sporting achievement, or simply just a well done, good job, whatever it is that causes you to feel pride, remember God has done it through you. Instead of letting pride in, give glory to God and it will keep you humble. Live for the applause of heaven, not the applause of social media. Are we looking for a well done from people around us or a well done from God? Choose humility over pride. And the last one I want to talk about today is our own agenda, letting our own agenda into our hearts. Proverbs 16, verse 25 says, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death." The world tells us to follow our heart, throw caution to the wind, do what you want to do, don't bother about anybody else. But this is not the way of the Bible. The Bible tells us to follow God's plan for your life, but it can be easy to let our own agenda into our hearts. A lot of you will have heard of the story in the Bible about the prodigal son, where the father gave his two sons their inheritance, and one of them went off and did his own thing. He went and squandered all his money and did what he thought was exciting and fun and what he wanted to do, and he soon realized that it wasn't the right way, that he'd made a mistake, that he wished he'd stayed with his father. And it goes on, we'll pick the story up, it'll come on the screen, it says, "So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began." The enemy is after your identity. And it says in this story that when the son came back, he said, "I no longer deserve to be called your son." That is the enemy getting into your hearts and telling you your identity. He wants to tell you that God doesn't have a plan for your life, that God isn't your father, that you aren't special, that you're a nobody. But we need to get our identity from God and not from those around us. We need to guard our heart from the enemy's lies. When I was about 15, I grew up going in a very traditional Methodist church. And when I was about 15, I decided that I was going to follow my own plan, that I didn't want to go to church anymore, that I wanted to follow my plan. So I, like the son, went off, did my own thing. I was looking for my identity in different relationships and friendships and going to parties and living what I thought was an exciting life. Thankfully, I soon realized that my way was not a good way. My way was not the way I wanted to live. And I came back to church and came back to God. We need to not let the enemy tell us that our way is better than God's way. There's just six weapons that I thought affect me. And I thought they would probably affect a lot of people. There's many more the things that we can let into our hearts, but they were things that I really thought affected us on a daily basis and that we need to learn about to stop the enemy getting into our hearts. And I've just got a few practicals to finish with because I like to hear a practical message. I like to know, you know, what can I do to stop this happening to me? How can I live a righteous life? So I have just got seven practicals that I wanted to give you today. The first one is guard your eyes. You know, the things we watch can affect our hearts. The programs we watch, the things we look at online, it all affects our heart. And we need to guard our eyes. If we're watching something that we know is not righteous, that we know is not causing our heart goodness, then we need to turn it off and not watch it. Guard your eyes. Secondly, in the same way, we need to guard our ears. Who are we hanging around with? Are we hanging around with people who are always complaining and moaning and saying jealous comments about people? That does us no good because we start picking up on that and we start doing it. Guard your ears. Number three, take every thought captive. Don't allow our minds to go where they shouldn't. I'm sure you've often heard that sin starts with a thought rather than an action. It starts with a thought and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and then turns into an action. When the thought first starts, we need to capture that thought and declare scripture over it. Number four, be content with the life God has given you. Don't be forever looking at other people's lives and thinking that theirs is better than yours. It's not. Guard your heart and be content. Number five, have a grateful heart. Be thankful for what you have. Everything you've got, be thankful for it. Because someone somewhere will wish they had what you've got. Be thankful for what you've got. Number six, desire eternal treasure, not temporary satisfaction, as that will fade. You know, we need to desire the eternal treasure, not the temporary satisfaction that some of these things that I've spoke about can cause us temporary satisfaction. I'll tell you a quick story about, I was at one of Judah's football matches, and it was against this team called Ofhina, and they were a bit of a contentious team, and it was a bit rough, and I was stood next to some of these parents from the other team, and I could hear them saying stuff about Judah, and well, I lost it. I was shouting at them, don't you say that about my son, and in that moment, I was satisfied. I've stuck up for my son. I've done good. I've told them. But for weeks after, I felt regret, shame, and embarrassment because I had set temporary satisfaction. Desire eternal treasure, not temporary satisfaction. And lastly, ask God to help you. Through all these things, it's not going to be something that you just hear once and be like, okay, that's it, I've got it in my heart. This is something that you're going to have to practice every day. Every day you're going to have to put that breastplate of righteousness on because these things are going to come towards you every single day. Remember to live righteous, to put that breastplate of righteousness on so the enemy can't attack you with these weapons. Guard your hearts. I'm just going to pray if you'd like to close your eyes. I really felt this morning that there's people here today who have been holding on to some things in their heart that they know aren't righteous. They know that they aren't the right thing to do, but they've been holding on to them. And this morning, God wants to release you from those things that you've been holding on to and you've not let them go. There's no situation, no relationship, no thought, no habit, no addiction in your life that the Holy Spirit can't break you from. And this morning, he wants to do that. So I'm just going to pray. And if that is you, I want you to just be open to God releasing you from that. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love us so much and you want to guard us from these weapons that can come against us, Father God. And I pray this morning for people's hearts who have been holding on to some things that aren't good, that aren't right, that aren't from you, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you would help them to let go of them right now, Lord. Whether it be offense, whether it be anger, whether it be jealousy, Lord, you would take away these things so that they can live a free life with you. In your mighty name, Lord. Amen. Also this morning, I want to give you the opportunity, if you've never given your life to Jesus before, I'm just going to say a prayer, and if that's you this morning, just pray it in your hearts along with me. Lord Jesus, today I ask you to come into my life. Lord, I want to follow your way. I don't want to live the way I was living before. Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life this morning. Father God, I ask you in my heart right now. Amen. If you made that decision this morning, if you'd just like to raise your hand while every eye is closed, just as a sign to God that today I'm giving my life to you. Thank you. The Lord celebrates when someone comes back to him. So we celebrate with you this morning for making that decision. Thank you.